This is On the Tee, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Now here's your host, Anita Marks, on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, good morning. Anita Marks with you. It is On the Tee here on 98.7 ESPN. We've got a fun show lined up for you for the next hour. The Americans win gold with Schauffele winning the gold medal like around 3:30 this morning for the Olympic men's golf competition in Japan. And so 18 under was his final score, 68 on Thursday, 63 on Friday, another 68 on Saturday, and then a 67. Again, that coming to a head around 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning to bring home the gold medal for the United States. But a very interesting story behind Schauffele that I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. Rory Sabatini comes in with the silver at 17 under, so he wins the silver medal for Slovakia. Very interesting story with him. You know, he's from South Africa, but, well, I should say he lives in South Africa, but he wins the gold medal for Slovakia because he's Slovakian. And then CT Pan wins the bronze for Taiwan. But a very interesting finale. If you were up at 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning, you had seven golfers that were sitting there at 15 under that had to play in a playoff. So four of them teed off, and then three of them teed off. Morikawa was one of them. Rory was another. Decky, Paul Casey, just to name a few. And CT Pan was a guy who I was actually fading in the course after he shot a 74 on Thursday. He came back two 66s on Friday and Saturday, and then a 63 on Sunday to really solidify the deal. And I neglected to mention Rory Sabatini shot a 61. Unbelievable. Here I am. I'm all excited when I break 80. Damn. 61 on Sunday to bring home the silver medal for his country. So that's where it stands right now. It was an interesting four days, or should I say nights, of golf. I don't know about you. I enjoyed it. I just felt the last 4 days, it was kind of like, all right, you know, I'd work, obviously, part of the Daily Wager gambling show on ESPN, or some of the days I had off and would grab dinner, sit down, and they'd start teeing off around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night in Japan. So obviously, again, talking about the time difference, and I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, there's not a lot going on unless you're a Yankees fan and you're excited with the new additions of Rizzo and Gallo to the Yankees, and they beat the Marlins again. Rizzo, another home run, so 2 for 2 last night, and I want to say, what was he, 2 for 3 in his debut? So what does that make him, 4 for 5? In two games now that he's put on the pinstripes. So, you know, unless you're watching baseball, Yankees, Mets, Olympics, Caleb Dressel, unbelievable. 5 gold medals, 3 individual, 2 team in the relays. So that's been interesting as well. But, you know, also not a lot going on. I don't know about you, not a lot for me going on TV-wise, whether it's Netflix, HBO, Apple, whatever. Well, actually, Ted Lasso season 2 is launched, and so I think there's 2 episodes out. But needless to say, my point is, I've really enjoyed watching golf at night. So I'm kind of digging the time change, to be quite frank. So it was a good 4 days of competition, but a lot of interesting storylines that have come out of what we've just witnessed in the last 4 days. I do want to break down the show with you and for you before we dive into those. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, as always, will join me in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Olympics, and we're going to look forward to what now for the remainder of the golf season. Well, we have the FedEx that's taking place in Memphis this coming week. The Barracuda in California, the Wyndham in North Carolina. But really, at the end of the day, what are we all looking forward to? Excuse me. We're looking forward to the FedEx Cup. And that starts right here in our own backyard for the Northern Trust. The 125 best golfers in the world will tee it up at Liberty National. And I was blessed to be invited out for their media day. So I played Liberty National not too long ago. And the course is just in such phenomenal shape, and it's such a great venue. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be broadcasting out there on Saturday. That Saturday of the tournament, I want to say it's August 21st, from noon to 3. So I welcome you to come out. I'm going to be in the beer garden. So somebody needs to keep a close eye on me, that's for sure. So you've got the Northern Trust top 125, and then they make their way to Maryland Caves. I lived in Baltimore for four years. I was blessed to play Caves quite a few times. Unbelievable course as well. So the 125 then drops to 70 from the Northern Trust, and then the Tour Championship in Atlanta, Hotlanta, where you've got your top 30 competing to see who's going to be the best golfer of the season. And then it doesn't stop there. The Ryder Cup is at the end of September. So really, you know, we've got four more solid weeks, exciting weeks, and not to take anything away from, you know, what's coming FedEx this coming week and the Barracuda and the Wyndham. I think there are a number of guys out there that are on the cusp of trying to get into the top 125. Patrick Rogers, Howell, Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Molinari, Stenson. These guys, if you look at the FedEx Cup standings, they're outside looking in. And so I want to believe that there are going to be a number of guys that are going to be participating in the tournaments in the next 3 weeks to try to get in to that top 125. We'll see what happens. So, and then we have Julie Tyson, by the way, the fearless leader. She's just a bad, bad woman, and she leads the PGA Tour in all that they do for the FedEx Cup and everything that's going to be taking place in Northern Trust. So I'm excited to have Julie on. She's going to be joining us at 8:30, giving us all the insight, everything you want to know about the Northern Trust, everything you want if you're planning on heading out there. I'm really excited to have her on. Again, was blessed to go out to Liberty National, and prior to us teeing it up, they gave us a preview of what to expect and everything that they're planning for the fans that are going to come out there. And it's going to be a spectacular weekend. So I'm excited to have Julie on the show, and she'll break it down for you. And then Christina Thompson, Golf for Her, is going to give us a LPGA update coming your way at 8:45. So that's the Golf Hour. Then my show, the Anita Marks Show, kicks off at 9:00. I've booked Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, and Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets, to join us in the first 2 hours. Week one of training camp in the books. We'll get the latest. What are some of the biggest storylines surrounding the Giants, surrounding the Jets? We'll have that for you. We'll also obviously talk a lot of baseball. Yankee fans have to be really excited, especially not only I call them the money moves that Brian Cashman has made as we got closer to the trade deadline, but also the fact that they've beaten the Marlins the past two nights, and therefore making some room, making some headway, trying to get in to that wild card spot to get into the postseason with a clear new slate of trying to win a World Series. So Yankee fans have to be excited. Mets, they get back in the win column. They beat the Reds in 10, 5-4, and Baez, he contributes with a two-run home run in the sixth. So we'll talk some Major League Baseball. I also want to swing back and talk some NBA today. Om Young-Min-Suk is going to join us from the West Coast. He covers both the Lakers and the Clippers out there. And, of course, as we know, the big story this week is Russell Westbrook heading to the Lakers to make it a big three. I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that there's more negativity about this move than there is optimism. And I will break that down with Om as well. And Cynthia Freeland is going to pop in, and we'll talk NFL broader picture. There are a lot of really interesting storylines that are taking place right now across week one of the NFL. Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, just to name a few. So we will look broad picture in regard to the NFL. Also, participated in Don LaGreca's softball game yesterday. Tweaked a little hamstring glute of my own. I'm hobbling around my apartment right now. This is what happens when you don't warm up. But nonetheless, had a great time. And I just want to thank everybody who came out to support Don in such an amazing cause. And Don does this each and every year. And it's always a fun afternoon, evening when we head out there to the WAG field. And so just want to thank everybody who came out and brought their dogs. It was great to see everybody out there. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, all right. Quick break. We come back. John Mascari is going to pop on board. We'll dive into some of the big storylines coming off of the Olympics and looking forward to what is to come in this golf season, specifically with the FedEx Cup and a lot more.
Now back to On the Tee. Here's Anita Marks.
You're listening to On the Tee here on 98.7 ESPN. This portion of the show brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Shop with the pros at your New York and New Jersey area PGA Tour Superstores, the home for golf pros and beginners. Without further ado, John Mascari joins us here on 98.7 ESPN, head pro at Alpine Country Club. John, how you doing?
I'm good, Anita. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. Let's dive right into it. Shoffley wins the gold for the U.S. And what an unbelievable story. His mother is Japanese. His father is German. But more importantly, his father was training to make it to the Olympics as a decathlon at the age of 20, got into a horrific car accident, and unfortunately lost his left eye in his Olympic hopes obviously faded by the wayside. So what an unbelievable story that Shoffley was able to win a gold for his father living vicariously through him. This story is like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, real tearjerker, right? That's for sure. Talk about the pressure being on him coming in with Shoffley. He played flawlessly in the last round in the front nine and then kind of ran into some trouble and frankly had to make some huge shots at the end to avoid getting in a playoff of his own. And I'm sure we'll talk more about the insane playoff for the bronze medal, but stuffed it in close on 18 for par to get up and down to win the gold. So good on him. You know, we always talk about Xander Schauffele and big moments in his majors, and this is obviously just as big of a moment, if not bigger, for him personally, as you mentioned. But stared it down on number 18 and made par to come home with the gold for the United States.
Unbelievable. And you're right. It is. What a tearjerker. Rory Sabatini wins the silver for Slovakia at 17 under. CT Pan wins the bronze for Taiwan at 15 under. And like you said, a really unbelievable playoff that took place with seven golfers. So four of them teed off and then another three. And I'll let you pick it up from there. I know this all unfolded at like 3:30 this morning. I guess my question to you was, were you up watching?
I was not up watching, but
okay,
I had to get up early today to go to work at Alpine Country Club. Uh-huh. So I did do some research and kind of was following along online and really unbelievable way things turned out. You mentioned that they had seven people going out for the bronze medal. The Olympic rule is if you have six, you can play in one group. So that's the max. So they happen to have seven. So mm-hmm. more than 10% of the field is in this playoff. So they have, as you said, a foursome and a threesome. They go down number 18. They drop two guys. Five guys make par on 18. Casey and Matsuyama are out of the playoff. Now, remember, Matsuyama playing in Japan, home country, he could have made birdie in the tournament on 16 and 17. He had short birdie putts that he missed both of them, and it would have been a whole different story. But he's out after the first round, along with Paul Casey with another strong showing. So five players now. So now you've got a fivesome and their caddies. So 10 people on the green at one time going to number 10. Par three, all five players make par. We move on to number 11, and Morikawa and CT Pan make birdie on the par four 11th. Gosh, Morikawa almost holed it from the fairway. If you look at the replay of that, his pitch mark was about 4 inches from the hole. And then you go down 18 again, and Pan hits it into the right rough, and Morikawa's right down the middle. So you take advantage, Colin, right? He's one of the best iron players in the world. Long story short, he ends up burying it in the face of the bunker in front of the green. Can't make par. Pan rolls in his par putt for the bronze medal. Game over.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, you talk about, well, golf might be boring in the Olympics. We don't know how it's going to work. There's no cut. You had Schauffele having to make a putt on 18 for the gold. Sabatini shoots 10 under 61 with two bogeys on his scorecard. Think about that. And then a seven-way playoff for the bronze medal. It was awesome. I think Rory said it best. You know, Rory McIlroy was someone who kind of came out against the Olympics when it first was reintroduced at the last games. And he says, this has been great, and I need to kind of give things a chance. So kudos to Rory for kind of walking back his words about the Olympics and golf, and he thought it was real exciting. And it stunk that it was on at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I think it has a bright future in the summer games.
Yeah, I mean, Rory coming out and saying, quote unquote, I'm not a very patriotic guy. I really didn't want to play in the Olympics. I did it because I felt like it was something I had to do for Ireland. So now he's dancing to the beat of a different drum, which is nice. Before we start talking about the two Koreans and what an interesting story that is, I'm curious, do you feel that for the next Olympics that maybe they can change it up? And you're right, like in regard to how this ended and the seven-man playoff for the bronze, you know, really, and for folks that may have been up at 3:30 this morning watching this, I'm sure, very exciting stuff. But there's some talk and some speculation that this should be turned into a team event. Maybe team match play, you know, three men, three women, or even, and I kind of like this idea, and that's mixed team match play. So let's say you team up like JT with like Nelly Korda going up against, you know, Deki and, you know, another Japanese female player. Like, do you feel that there'd be more interest, more buzz, more excitement if they were to switch it up, John?
No, I think you have to be careful with the team event. I'll tackle that point first. Is there are going to be countries that may not be able to field a team event or may not be able to have enough golfers that could make up a four-man team event. Now, obviously, we're blessed in the United States that we have a multitude of fantastic golfers, but think of some of the smaller countries who might not be able to field a full team. Mm-hmm. And you want to give them a chance to compete in the Olympics. I think it's, you know, it's maybe for them it's even more important. So I would stick with the individual. I'd also stick with the male and female split as well. I think if you look at all the other Olympic sports, there's a male and there's a female competition. I don't think the Olympic Committee would want to start to put those together. I think it's a great idea for an event, period. And you and I have spoken about that the tour should embrace some more of the mixed gender events where it's a male and a female playing as a team or as a group. But I think maybe the Olympics should just stick with the male and the female. I think maybe you could change the format a little bit as far as maybe having a cut, which might be a little more enticing. But for 60 players playing four rounds, I actually think they did a really good job with this.
Again, John Mascari joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Real quick, the two Koreans, Sun Jae-im and Siwoo Kim, who were both playing in the Olympics, needing to medal in order to avoid mandatory military service for their country, which is anywhere between 18 to 21 months. Now, those that have those professional Korean golfers who started their professional career and then had to go in the service, came back and were never the same. KJ Choi actually fulfilled his military service before he became a pro, which I think probably looking back now, I wonder if they feel that that may have been the best route to go. But Im finished tied for 22nd at 10 under. Siwoo Kim finished tied for 32nd. Your thoughts on just the pressure one could only imagine they were facing heading into the Olympics and what happens now. I guess it's on them exactly when they want to serve. But, you know, again, the track record for Korean golfers who return after their service typically never get back into like the top 150 in the world.
Well, you would think so, right? They're going into the military for almost 2 years, so it's not like they're sitting on the range hitting balls. Enormous amount of pressure. Now, Sung Jae-im is a little younger, so he is going to have another opportunity at the next Olympic Games. I think you have to be 25. You have to fulfill your service by 25. Kim, I don't think he's old enough. I think he's too old to get to the next Olympics. I think he's going to have to serve. I would push it back as far as I could. I mean, these guys are in the prime of their careers right now, so it kind of stinks. But this is just the way their government runs. And to your point, could they have maybe said, when I turn 19, I'll just knock out my military commitment and then progress in my career? But hindsight's 20/20, so we'll see how it goes. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way their country is run, and I'm sure they're not going to shy away from their commitment for that. So
yeah, my heart goes out.
Boy,
to
a lot
them.
Of pressure, though.
A lot of pressure. Before I let you go, John, because I've got Julie Tyson, Executive Director of the Northern Trust, who's going to be joining me momentarily. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Northern Trust on Saturday, August 21st. We welcome everybody to come out. But your thought on the FedEx Cup, the fact that the top 125 are going to be on our own backyard at Liberty National to start that process, how excited are you?
The field is unbelievably stacked now. You know, we've seen some great golf in 2021, and the top golfers in many of the fields, and now here we are again with the sprint to the end of the season. Now it's three events, right? It's the Northern Trust at Liberty, then we go to the BMW at Caves Valley down in mm-hmm. Maryland, mm-hmm. and then finishing up with the Tour Championship at Eastlake, as always, in Atlanta. What I love about it is that it's almost like the field is different, right? You've got a field of the top 125. You're shrinking down the amount of play. The purse, $1.7 million to the winner. Liberty National is an amazing, amazing facility and a great place to kick it off. So if you're in the New York metropolitan area, get over there in the middle of August. I think it starts on the 19th. And see us when we're there. But just, I'm sure Julie's going to touch on it immensely. It's just, I'm so excited for the turnout, the field. So many players are committing to this event already. It's going to be awesome.
John, thank you so much. Beautiful day today. I'm sure your golf course is going to be rocking. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun day, my friend.
Thanks. You too. Good luck, everyone.
You got it. All right, we come back. The executive director of the Northern Trust, Julie Tyson, will be joining us, giving us some update, some information on what all we can expect the week in the Northern Trust is at Liberty National. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning on the tee here on 98.7 ESPN. We are weeks away from the Northern Trust. Why not get the executive director of the Northern Trust, Julie Tyson, on with us this morning? Julie, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Man, just weeks away. All this planning, hard work, your team, exceptional. You could just feel it. How excited are you?
I'm excited, but boy, I've been listening to you, and you are, I gotta take you on the road with me, kid. You are awesome. You got some good energy going.
Oh, you know what? It's that Starbucks coffee that Uber Eats delivers at 6 a.m. every day. Like I've got it locked and loaded. But in all seriousness, you know, I just had John Mascari on, who you know extremely well. You know, we were talking about just what tournament can you go to in the course of the entire year, or even tune into and watch, and know that you're going to get the 125 best golfers that you'll be able to go out there and watch for, you know, obviously the first 2 days, what have you. But I mean, and guys like Morikawa, Spieth, Cantlay, Rahm, Louis, Bryson. Oh, please tell me you're going to. Oh, please tell me that Bryson and Brooks are going to tee it off together. How great would that be? Justin Thomas, Shoffley, who just won a gold for the United States, DJ, I mean, answer. It's just, I'm excited. And I'm excited we're going to be broadcasting live from out there at the Beer Garden on Saturday. So
we are too. We're excited to have you. And listen, if this summer has taught us anything, it's when there's a lot on the line. And this morning in Japan, notwithstanding, right, these guys are going to kill each other to try to win and to compete at the highest level. So to have the biggest names in your field come and to put a lot on the line, we know that there's going to be something spectacular that happens.
Absolutely. And just for folks that are tuning in, just to kind of give you an idea. So it's a three-stop tournament, and it begins right here at Liberty National. Again, that weekend of August 18th. So come out the 125 best players, and then the 70 best out of that 125 then make their way to Caves Valley in Maryland, which I was fortunate enough to play. I lived in Baltimore for 4 years, and that's a beautiful track as well for the BMW. And then the top 30 compete for the Tour Championship in Atlanta at East Lake, and then you crown a champion. So this is the first stop, and it makes it really, really exciting. Why don't you let our listeners know out there who are thinking, planning on coming out to Liberty National, everything that's going to be offered, Julie?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, in New York, it's a big issue for people to get to places conveniently and to know that you're not going to spend a lot of time trying to get somewhere. So we've upgraded all of our transportation options. So this year, the ferry will be free to anybody coming from the New York side. So the ferry leaves from Brookfield Place, and it will be free and drop you right off at the clubhouse. So you're going to get dropped off right up in front. Parking, we've moved, and so it's much, much closer. You can find all the details on our website, and so it's easier to get to off the any expressway, and then the shuttles are much faster. We route you right into 1 and 18, and then once on site, we've added a 12-foot sky bridge, complements of MasterCard, so that people can watch the driving range and the putting green from an aerial view. It's the first time we've ever done it at Liberty National, and should be a super exciting opportunity for people. We've got great food options that we're bringing back and some new offerings. The merch tent is much more convenient. We've moved it inside the golf course, so now you can go and shop to your heart's delight, another big thing for New Yorkers and people in this area. So, and then around 15, 16, we've kind of clustered some other fun activations. So we've got a gaming experience with DraftKings this year for the first time ever. And so they'll have their own venue you can go visit. We've got where you're going to be parked, which is our craft beer garden. And then we've got a wine garden right next to it. So whatever you're into, we've got something for you that will keep you excited and probably hydrated for most of the day.
Well, you know, I'm a wine snob, so I think you placing me in the beer garden was strategic just to keep me sober for those 3 hours. I love that DraftKings is going to be there. Listen, you know me, I'm all about gambling. It's my wheelhouse now, hosting a show here on 98.7 ESPN every Friday night, Weekend Wager, and being a part of ESPN's gambling platform 7 days a week. So kind of, you know, talk about what that tent is going to offer in regard to like active hole by hole gambling. What all is going to happen in that tent?
Yeah, so they're going to offer a free to play game to introduce a lot of people to how it works, how DraftKings works, and more of a probability kind of thing. So it's accessible to anybody who's really never done it. You can open your account real easily. And we put the DraftKings experience on 15, 16, because 16 is a drivable par 4. So it's a really, really, in my opinion, it's the most exciting hole on the golf course. So that'll give people some things to do while they're there. Interestingly, when we announced our partnership with DraftKings, our ticket sales went up 10x that day. How about that? So I don't think you're alone in your interest for gambling.
No, and you know, I'll say this. When people ask me what's the hardest sport to handicap in regard to gambling, is it golf? And my response is no, because the statistics are so attainable and a player's game, you know, is that golfer, you know, is he, you know, how many strokes gained on approach has he played his last 24 rounds? What is his driving accuracy? What is his driving distance? And you know what you need in your bag to win at a specific golf course. That information is attainable. So now you line the two up. If the three most important metrics for Liberty is driving accuracy, strokes gained on approach, and putting, then you just you do your due diligence, you do your research, you go out and you find who are the top golfers that in the last 24 rounds, you know, have a lot of strokes gained in those three categories. And those are the guys that you wager on. And typically more
That's
time
right.
than not, right? They finish in the top 20,
That's
top
right.
10, top five, and you win money. So,
and our fans, golf fans inherently love data just to begin with. So it's a perfect marriage of gaming and data. And there's a limitless possibility. Once you get into it and you start figuring out what you want to do and, you know, it's easy, there are ways to move to more advanced steps in gaming that will make it even more fun for you. It's just limitless. So we're excited about the partnership with DraftKings here locally, but we're excited as a PGA Tour employee for what it represents for engagement for our younger fans.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Before I let you go, just out of curiosity, there's three tournaments that still are on the schedule that need to happen before the Northern Trust, right? FedEx coming up this week, Barracuda and the Wyndham. Now, I was looking at the FedEx Cup standings. There's a few golfers that are right on the outside looking in, like Patrick Rogers, Charles Howell, Fleetwood, who, by the way, last time you had the Northern Trust at Liberty, I saw that following Monday, I was in Battery Park and Fleetwood walked out of a Gristides, and I said, what are you doing here? He said, in that phenomenal like English accent, you know, I'm going to stick around New York and enjoy the city for a while. But anyway, Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Molinari, Stenson, I'm assuming, again, you know, that a number of tour players are going to use these next 3 weeks to try to accumulate more points so that they could get into that 125, right? Like, how close of an eye are you keeping on the next 3 weeks and the guys that you're eyeing that you think really have a chance if they do well to get in?
Well, I mean, we're watching all of that because this is the exciting part of our season, not only because people are trying to get in, but the guys that are trying to improve their seed to get in so that they have a better shot at tour championship. So Memphis is going to be a really important week because it's worth more points. And so I think that's going to be a really, really competitive event to watch.
Fantastic. Julie, great stuff as always. You know, I think the world of you. You rock. Executive Director of the Northern Trust. Thank you so much. And I'm really looking forward to coming out there. I think I'm going to make it out there the two of the 4 days. I definitely want to get out there for opening day on Thursday. And then again, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Beer Garden on hole 15 on Saturday from noon to 3. So we welcome everybody to come out. Julie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. See you soon.
You got it. You got it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun day.
Now back to On the Tee. Here's Anita Marks.
Anita Marks back with you live. Of course I'm live. This is On the Tee. This portion of the show brought to you by PGA Tour Superstores. Shop with the pros at New York or New Jersey area PGA Tour Superstores, the home for golf pros and beginners. Also, you just heard from Julie Tyson, Executive Director of the Northern Trust. Don't miss your chance to see the world's top-ranked PGA Tour players in action again when they return to Liberty National Golf Club for the Northern Trust, the first event in golf season-ending FedEx Cup playoffs, held August 18th through the 22nd in New Jersey. In Jersey City, New Jersey, of course, we are giving away a chance to score a pair of tickets for the Saturday round and see big names like Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, and many more come out, swing by the Beer Garden. You just heard Julie tell you I'll be broadcasting from noon to 3 on the 15th green. So all brought to you by the Northern Trust. Secure your tickets at thenortherntrust.com. And here you go, caller number 8. Caller number 8, 800-919-3776, gets a pair of tickets. So get those fingers working right now. It's time now for a LPGA update brought to you by Canteen Vodka, ready to drink, ready to go. So we bring in Christina Thompson. Christina, good morning.
Good morning. I am so excited for Liberty National and Northern Trust. Like, I just listening to Julie, I am so excited to get out there. It is such a cool tournament.
It is. I mean, we had a blast last time. You know, so yeah. It's just, you know, hopefully the weather will be as beautiful as it is this week and as great as it was when we were out there 2 years ago. So we're really excited for it. And again, we'll be broadcasting live noon to three. I know you're going to pop out there. John Mascari is going to pop out there as well. So we're going to have some fun. All right. With that being said, give us an LPGA update. What's going on? From what I understand, there is an event taking place in Ireland right now. Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's a really cool tournament that's happening right now. It's a tri-sanctioned event. It's between the European Tour, the LPGA Tour, and the Ladies European Tour. It's the first of its kind, so it's two separate tournaments happening at the same time on two courses. You've got 144 men, you've got 144 women. The timesheets at both of those venues are alternating between men and women. So you've got men teeing off, and then you've got the women teeing off. They're playing for two equal prizes of $1.5 million each. They're both 72-hole stroke play events. And it's just, it's a really cool format. So if you've turned on the TV and you've seen this and you're wondering, like, what the heck is this tournament happening? This is the deal. After the first round, there was a cut and the top 60 in ties moved on. And then yesterday there was another cut where the top 35 in ties between the men and women moved on. So there's 70 players playing today. And where we stand right now on the men's side, we have England's Jordan Smith, who carded a 5-under, third round 65, got him a one-stroke advantage over his fellow countryman, David Horsey, who was 14-under for the tournament. And then on the ladies' side, we've got Americans Emma Talley and Jennifer Kupcho, along with Thailand's Pajari Annanarayanan, who are sharing the lead at 13-under. Kupcho, who I think I'm pulling for, I'd love to see her win. She's a 2019 Augusta National Women's Amateur Champ. She five birdies, including closing par, really capped off her round, and I think she's playing really well, and I think she's continuing to hope, you know, hop on this trend and raise her first trophy. And you got Emmy Talley, who managed even par, but what's really cool, I think the fun story behind her is that she was paired with Jennifer Kupcho, and Emma Talley's boyfriend is actually Jennifer Kupcho's caddy. So they're paired together this afternoon. So it's going to be a little weird to have like your boyfriend on the bag of your person you're competing against. So it's just going to be it's a little drama, and I love that. But yeah, it's a really cool tournament. I'm excited to see that they played this. And I, honestly, when I first saw it, I was confused by it. I'm like, what is happening? But yeah, so that's the rundown. So tune in when you're not watching the Olympics or any other golf, watch. And that's the deal on that. And so you guys, I know we're talking about the men. And yay, Shoffley, he got the gold for America. And we've got women's golf starting Tuesday. We've got 60 of the, you know, top world best female golfers out there. A couple of cool storylines to follow while you're watching women's golf in the Olympics at 3 o'clock in the morning. So U.S., we have Nelly and Jessica Korda, the dream team sisters, you know, wondering, can they dominate the field and earn medals? And they're playing alongside Danielle Kang, first time playing in the Olympics, and Lexi Thompson, who played in the 2016 Olympics. She finished T19. So she'll be back out there trying to win a medal for the U.S. But some other really interesting storylines, because we've got returning medalists from 2016. You got Imbi Park back out there trying to go back-to-back for gold medals. Lydia Ko, she was 19 years old when she played in the Olympics. She's coming to the Olympics super hot with a T6 finish last week at the Evian Championship. And we've got bronze medalist Shan-Chan Fang, who hasn't competed since she missed the cut back in June at the Women's PGA Championship, and hinted a little bit about a retirement after the Olympics. So curious if they're going to be able to stand, you know, get another bronze medal. And then again, of course, you've got your Japanese players who are hoping to do what Hideki couldn't do for his country. We've got Nasa Hatotoka and Moni Inami out there representing Japan. So a little extra pressure and excitement for those ladies. But yeah, like, to see the Olympics, then yes, I will be watching at least DVRing it. So
that starts on Tuesday.
Correct.
And correct. So if you were going to put any money down on a lady golfer to win the gold, who would you put your money on?
I'm loving two people. I'm going Nelly Korda, man. She is just crushing this year, and she's hot and ready to go. And Lydia Ko, I think she can grind it. I think she's going to be up there too. That's a tough one. I think Nelly and Korda. Nelly and Lydia Ko are going to be gold, silver, and I'm putting the bronze. I'm giving bronze to Gabby Lopez from Mexico. How's that?
Representing, I like
giving
listen.
Marina Ochoa. Yeah,
you've been as hot with your golf picks as Nelly Korda has been on the golf course. So yeah, whatever you say goes, my friend. All right, she's Christina Thompson. Golf for her, as I always like to say, you want to make sure you look good in order to play well. So check out Golf for Her. Thank you so much, Christina. Adore you. Hi to Mark. Big kiss, and you guys enjoy your Sunday. I'm sure you guys are teeing it up somewhere today.
We are. We're on our way out the door in about 5 minutes.
Where are you playing today?
We're playing at a great course out here in Pennsylvania, Pine Hills. Great little sleepy little course. Shot my best round there. Best front nine. Shot a 38 there a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going back out there hoping to finish better than that.
Look at you. Look at you. All right. Enjoy. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful afternoon. Enjoy yourself, Christina. Thank you. This has been our LPGA update brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Canteen is refreshing, ready to drink vodka soda in a can on the go, on the course, or in your own backyard. Learn more at drinkcanteen.com. Must be 21 years or older. Always enjoy responsibly. All right. That about sums up our show on the tee with John Mascari, Julie Tyson, Christina Thompson, myself. Thank you so much. 98.7 ESPN.